It's Gerard Mayo.
Just the other day, he came to the world in the usual way. And then I put him on the basketball team with me. We checked into the game and he only played 3 minutes. And he went 0 for 2, because he shouldn't be in the league, Dad. I'm only in the league because of you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
It's like KJ. I just freestyled that whole song.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't that bad at all.
Korean Open or whatever.
Than TT Po?
TT Po.
I'll come up with some sort of TT Po thing, too.
Brian, feel free to merge that all together into one little clip of Arkan singing.
Let's not. We could burn that tape forever. Anyway, that is Gerard Mayo feeling the heat a little bit, saying it's all about the Jets. Yeah, that's all we're talking about right now. This is all about the Jets. We're on to New York. It's Jets week. We suck, and it's all my fault. 100%. That was one thing he wanted to get out there. He wanted to say that a lot today. This is my fault. I'm taking responsibility. It's not all on the players. It's on me. He's feeling the backlash from that more than anything else, I think.
Well, because Sunday night it was all on the players.
Exactly.
We're a soft football team. The one thing we haven't really discussed, the details of that, he was quoting Bill Belichick. I think that was lost here. And I didn't know it at the time when he said, when you can't stop the run, run the ball, and cover kicks, you're a soft team. And then when Bill was ripping him with Brady, Brady's like, we all know that a tough team is one that can run the ball, stop the run, and cover kicks.
Yep.
So clearly, that measurement right there was Belichickian. So Mayo was using Belichickian standards to decide what kind of team he had. He just went public with the way he felt his team was playing or was built. And I found that interesting. That was kind of, he was using Bill's own comment, Bill's own 10 or whatever you want, a barometer to measure a football team. And I thought that was interesting, which ended up backfiring on him and then ends up with Bill taking pot shots at him shortly thereafter. But it is very intentional, in my opinion. Well, first of all, the backtracking a day later, but then today was like martyr. He wanted to be a martyr.
Yeah.
Oh, it all comes down to me. I'm the head coach. It's all my responsibility. I'll take all the blame. I'm a big boy. I got big shoulders. I'm like Randy Moss. You put the earth on these shoulders. That whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit much. It's a bit performative.
I think it's very performative.
I've kind of grown annoyed by everything Mayo does.
I don't think Gerard Mayo is a, hey, it's all on me, it's all my fault type of guy. I don't think he believes that.
Yeah.
I think he's saying it because he thinks it's what you're supposed to say. I don't think he believes that. I think he's sort of here going, you know, this is not a great situation that I'm in. I'm doing my best, but it's not really working. And, yeah, I got a lot of guys here doing things, which, by the way, is part of the culture that you've created here. Is you've made a big show about that, too. I want these guys to express themselves.
Yep.
I want them to go to the media and talk to them. I don't care if they post things on social media. They can express themselves however they want. They're all men and blah, 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 blah. All that stuff is part of the culture that he created and has now gotten completely out of control. He's not controlling it.
No,
he has no control over what's going on. He hasn't had control of this team since camp.
Yeah.
When Matthew Judon was walking around punting footballs into the crowd. Like, he's never really had control of anything going on here. And if they were winning games, you know, they won that first game. I didn't think he was in control of the team. They won the game and everybody said, great, look at this. You won a game. The first game, look at this new head coach. And then the rest of the season happened and you realize, okay, they're not winning anymore. They're probably not going to win again. And this thing's completely off the rails.
And I actually don't know how hard it would be to try to fix. I don't know if it would work. They stink. So you can bench anybody you want.
Right.
You can fine anybody, you suspend anybody you want for conduct detrimental if you want to go down that road. Like, am I going to lose if I fine Kayshon Booty? No, I'm losing with Kayshon Booty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, he's made a couple nice plays over the last couple
weeks
on balls down the
field.
He's
your number one target, I'd say.
But and if they are honestly trying to lose, which I told you, I think this roster was built to not necessarily win by Elliott Wolf in the offseason. Either that or he's a terrible roster builder, one or the other. And I give him the benefit of the doubt and say he was not really all in on Bill. Well, if you get rid of a couple guys, doesn't that just help you get draft picks?
Yeah.
It almost gives you an excuse for the second half of the season. Well, he had to rein in the culture and he had to really discipline a few guys and, you know, therefore had to play practice squatters and that's why they lost. When in reality they lost because they were terrible from start to finish all season long. But he needs to do something. Something needs to be done either to him or beneath him. Right? Above his pay grade or below his pay grade, but something needs to be done.
Yep, agreed. There needs to be some sort of message sent here, and I don't know if he's keen on delivering it. I can tell you that the new Injury report is out for Jets week here.
Yeah, let's go. What do you got? Something good?
Full participants today were Drake May and Kendrick Bourne. They were on the list, both with knee injuries, but full participants.
That's good.
Limited were Kyle Duggar, Jonathan Jones, Michael Jordan, Marte Mapu, Sidy Sow, and Taki Taki. And the following players did not participate in today's practice. Curtis Jacobs, Anthony Jennings, Vidarian Lowe, Jalen Polk, who's apparently in the concussion protocol now, Layden Robinson, Ramondre Stevenson, and Keon White, all non-participants today.
That's not great.
Jennings, Lowe, Polk, Robinson, Stevenson, White. That's not good.
I don't know how much worse it can get, but that's not great.
No.
I certainly want Ramondre Stevenson out there, even though they couldn't run the ball at all last week. You'd be hopeful that they could get some ground game.
I wonder if they rushed them back.
It's a possibility.
You know?
Because he was did not practice. Remember, it was
DNP
Wednesday,
all week,
Thursday,
and then suddenly
yeah.
he's, oh, I'm in England, I can play now. And he goes out there, and he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, he didn't play well, and now he can't practice again. So, circumstantially, it looks like you rushed him back.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Mark in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mark.
Andy, what's going on, pal?
What's up? How are you?
What am I, chopped liver over?
Not bad, not bad. But what I don't understand is, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was available, and, you know, Elliot Wolf, Gerard Mayo say, you know what, if we can make our team better, we'll go ahead and do it. Well, I think DeAndre Hopkins makes your team better because I think he would probably be your number one target, and it will help the offense and open up other players. What do you think the problem is, why they're not going after a good player?
It's a good question, Mark. Andy, he was addressing you, so go ahead and answer.
Yeah, and I'm going to answer a different question. Like, I wouldn't really want DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think he really fits right now.
I wanted him with Mac a couple years
ago. No, I know.
I would have liked that.
And
yeah.
he was a good option, and he proved he had more left in the tank than I think some people thought he had left in the tank. Didn't he have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons?
Yes.
He might have.
Yes, he did.
But I'm going to use this as a jumping-off point. I want Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp has something left. Cooper Kupp has been injured. True. Cooper Kupp costs money. Don't care. Have plenty. Right? So we just mentioned it. We talked about every receiver on this roster has done something dinky.
Yep.
Bring in Cooper Kupp, who is a, by all accounts, workhorse, prove people wrong, more talented Edelman, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like a bigger play Edelman.
Bigger, faster Edelman, yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice in this room?
It would be if I thought that Cooper Kupp could stay on the field for more than a week at a time. I mean, I definitely think that, but yes.
But he can have value. Now,
absolutely.
It's not ideal. But
and it's a lot of money.
It isn't as much as you think. I looked at it. It's like $20 million, $20 million. Because a lot of the dead money has to go to them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
The money is, he has a salary and then like a roster bonus. And I think it's like $19 million per year, $20 million per year. You've been saying all along, they have money. This year, next year, they have plenty of money. And I was only half joking when I said, trade for Cooper Kupp to be a leader in that room. Hopefully he stays healthy. Doesn't keep you from going to get T. Higgins. You're going to tell me Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, and Pop Douglas doesn't sound like a nice trio of receivers for Drake May heading into his second season?
Sounds great.
That sounds awesome.
Compared to what you had, it sounds like the greatest show on turf.
And I know Shefty was sort of dismissive of the idea that Cooper Kupp, well, he was kind of dismissive of everything we brought up, but he was kind of dismissive of the idea that Cooper Kupp is going to be traded, but that rumor's out there to the point where Cooper Kupp is talking about it. He was quoted on it yesterday, and that's the guy I would go get. If you could trade... What did they get for Judon?
A third.
Third.
Yep.
I'll give you Atlanta's third right now for Cooper Kupp. It's an extra third. It's an extra chip I picked up.
Yeah.
And I think long term, that helps me more than Judon. It helps me hopefully salvage some of these young receivers. Javon Baker, right? Maybe Javon Baker can pick up something about being a professional from Cooper Kupp. And he adds depth. And you got Cooper Kupp for a cup. And I also don't remove the fact that if Cooper Kupp can stay healthy, he can catch a lot of balls.
Oh, yeah. If he's healthy, he's the top receiver in the league,
right.
I'd say. Absolutely.
So I'm not giving up on him contributing.
Or he was in a Sean McVay offense. I don't know if he would be in an Alex Van Pelt offense. I think that matters,
too. It's a Drake May offense.
It is a true. We'll see
forget,
about that. Yeah.
Forget Alex Van Pelt.
By the way,
May.
I'm getting chirped on Twitter right now. RK and Ramondre Stevenson mispracticed for personal reasons. It said foot/NIR personal. So it can't be but. Like, I hate when they do that, when it's like foot, but also non-injury related. Well, is it the foot or is it a non-injury related thing?
Right.
And by the way, he missed all practice last week,
right.
And he was banged up last week, so you can believe that it was just personal reasons, the reason he wasn't there today. I'm going to assume that the foot had a lot to do with it, too.
Plus, they've been very weird with these over the course
yeah,
of...
Agreed.
I know we used to question Bill and how he might manipulate injury reports, but Joe Cardona had a calf, then they signed a long snapper... Then Mayo said he had a personal issue that we let him go deal with.
Right.
Well, did he have a calf or did he have a personal? And the same thing with Jabril Peppers.
Right.
Jabril Peppers had a calf. He's going to be inactive. And then we found out that he's actually probably in the police station right now. So is he inactive because of the calf or is he inactive because of the police? So there's been some gray areas with their injury report listings.
Yeah, there certainly has. Let's go to Tim in Hanover before the break. Go ahead, Tim.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up?
Hey, I want to just say, man, Andy, I was listening to you yesterday about Mayo. I think you're right. Same with you, Ken. The thing is,
more me.
You had Wolf was appointed. I don't think Mayo, to be honest with you, I truly believe this. I don't think Mayo has the pull power on a lot of stuff. I think they've held him back. I think Mayo, he's by saying we, us, I believe so. He's not trying to rock the boat. But the thing is, you know what? He better stand on his own 2 feet and start making moves and start saying, hey, Alex, I want more passing done. I want this done. He better right the ship because if not, a bus is going to roll him over and he'll be out and his future ain't going to be too bright. Because I'll tell you what, they're not going to get better, and they're not tanking because they don't have the team. They're going to play, and these guys will play, and they'll lose their games naturally because they don't have enough. You guys all know it. Everyone knows it. The fans are getting pissed off, and the microscope is getting tighter and tighter on everybody because they're not winning. If they were winning, they'd be eased up on the microscope, but they're going to keep going, man.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. I think you're onto something there, and I think you're right about the first part of what you said for sure. There's no one here with any sort of prestige. There's no one here with any kind of resume. Nope. There's no one who can say, hey, you know what? We should do it my way because it worked here, 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 and here. The only one who's even close to that is someone like Ben McAdoo, who was a good offensive coordinator and got something out of Eli there at the end, but then when they made him the head coach, he was a train wreck. So it's like he's your most resumed guy. That's it. That's the only one. Everybody else is doing their job for the first time ever. They have nothing to fall back on and no one really in their ear who can tell them, hey, this is the way, this is something that's worked for me in the past. You can try it this way. We can try it that way and maybe we'll have something here. They just don't have any of that anywhere in the building. It's just the cupboard is completely empty.
You made me rethink that a little bit too, because earlier I suggested maybe McAdoo needs to be more involved. Maybe he needs to impart his wisdom, his experience, because as you said, he has the resume. What if he's been involved? What if he's been imparting his wisdom and his experience? What if he is the one who said, hey, Gerard, we got pushed around today. You should go out there and say the team is soft. And then that had to be covered up. Maybe he's part of the problem. Maybe he has been advising Mayo, and maybe it hasn't been working.
Maybe. I mean, that's entirely possible.
Right, we don't know what he does.
Brian just posted the video of me singing the TT Post song, which I did not consent to. I didn't think that was a good idea to post.
I think
that,
you consented when you sat in that chair and started.
I did. I didn't think that was a clip that we should emphasize, that we should put out there into the internet.
I don't know where you got
like
that idea.
I don't know about that one. Anyways, here we go. It's out there now.
People will love it.
I don't know what you were just talking about. Anyway, 617-77. I don't think so. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here's Jackson to tell you what's trending, and we'll come back with another look at a really, really good night for the Boston Celtics down on Causeway Street. The banner goes up, and all the shots went down. That's coming up right after Jackson tells you what's trending.
Not much competition at the Garden last night, that's for sure. Boston Celtics looking unstoppable as they raise a banner and then raise the New York Knicks right on out of TD Garden with a barrage of three-pointers, some pretty good defense, and as far as an opening night game goes, I don't think it could have gone too much better than it did for Jason Tatum. If this season's really going to be a revenge tour, that's how you start it off. And I think that it's interesting because you're the reigning champions. That's generally not a revenge tour type of season. Am I boring you there, Andy?
No.
You want to stop throwing the ball around like a 2-year-old?
I got a little nervous energy right now. I don't know
Seems
why.
Seems like, yeah, what's going
We're
on?
We're in the bitching hour and we haven't bitched.
We haven't been bitching yet, but we can certainly start, I guess.
What do you got? What do you got?
I don't really have too much. I mean, what are you supposed to bitch about when it comes to the Celtics? There's nothing to bitch about at all.
They usually rely on you to bring that energy.
I got nothing. I have nothing. They were awesome last night.
On the record.
It is pretty interesting that there's a revenge tour going on with the reigning champions. You don't see that ever. One of the reigning champions out for revenge. They won. The other team should be out for revenge on them, and it's not the way it is.
And this team is very unique in that. It's a revenge tour by a reigning champion that's young.
Right.
So it's not even people have called him old, and they think we can't do it anymore, like the Brady stuff near the end.
Yeah, or the 08 Celtics even, yeah.
Like, what? I know the whole Olympic thing, and that's a separate issue. But, like, what is the argument against the Celtics that they would be pushing back against? Like, what's the straw man or whatever? I don't even know. It's a unique team that is entering the dynasty, mm-hmm. that is still on the ascension. That's there. One guy that doesn't get thrown, like, Drew Holiday is a little older than people think he is.
Right.
He doesn't often get lumped into the older side of things because he's not Cooper Kupp. He's not always injured, so you hope you're going to stay healthy. But this team is uniquely built. Even the coach is, you know, you'd start to say, well, is he going to lose interest? Or is he, well, no. He's 30, whatever the hell he is,
yeah.
five.
And he's in his third season.
Right, but I mean, like, he's building his career.
Right.
He's laying the foundation to be Spoelstra 10 years from now, mm-hmm. or 15 years from now, just seen as this, well, I know we questioned him early and wasn't sure what he was, but his resume is pretty impressive, and that guy's one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Can you imagine him being like this for 10 years, like, you know, just the same act, the same,
well, that's why I want to know,
sort of thing, like 10 years of that? Oh, my God,
if it's
miserable.
If it's an act, I don't think he can do it.
Right.
If it's really who he is, who I he think is. It'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. Unless something bad happens, I guess. I mean, this guy is a little bit of a loose cannon.
What do you mean, something bad?
I don't know. I could see him putting somebody in, like, a chokehold or something, like a judo chokehold after a game for talking back to him or something. You know, sneaking up on Sam Hauser and just, you know, he's got him in the cobra clutch or something. Okay. I could see that happening.
That'd be worse than anything Mayo's done.
He's unpredictable. That's the thing. Joe Mazzulla is an unpredictable guy.
I don't know if he's...
You don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what he's going to do. He's just kind of...
But is he violently
kind of like this little mongoose, you know? Like, you don't know what's going to happen next.
That is true.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I think he's going to...
Maybe he's not violent. I don't know. I just... He's a guy who I think is an acquired taste. And so far, you win a championship, that taste is much more easier to acquire, I would say.
So,
and that's where we're at.
Because I think if he steps in it, it'll be verbally. Like, even last night, if I'm the owner, I don't really need you bitching that the ring is too big.
Right.
You just keep that one to yourself. Because you know what? These kind of cost me some money.
Sure.
There's a lot of diamonds and gold in there that I thought it was very nice to give you a big ring. Plus, it is a measuring contest where pretty much every ring has to be bigger than the last.
That's true. And also, this owner's not going to be the owner for very long. So, you know.
It's true.
Who cares if you piss him off, right? Like, what's he going to do?
Some truth. Well, that's...
going to tell the next guy, hey, this coach here, he's not... He'll make fun of the rings, maybe.
Yeah, like, if you win, he'll make fun of how big the ring is, and he won't like it because he wants to wear it.
Really, I think that this whole revenge idea comes and stems from the Olympic team. I mean, that's the main thing. That's what's got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown all hot and bothered going into this season, and I think that that's something that's not going to go away, and I think the rest of the team will rally around that. Oh, you don't think our superstars are good enough? You don't think that they deserve those kind of props? We're gonna make sure that they do, because for as good as a starting five as this team has, and it's one of the best starting fives maybe ever, but as good of a starting five as it is, the guards know what their role is. Porzingis knows what his role is when mm-hmm. he's out there. They play roles on this team in a different way than Brown and Tatum do. Brown and Tatum are your two primary guys, and the offense runs through both of them when they're out there. These other guys understand that. Drew Holiday is an all-star. Derek White, I think, was an all-star. Porzingis was definitely an all-star. And they all understand. You talk about sacrificing, and, oh, it really takes good players to sacrifice for a team to be successful. They get that. They get that full bore on this team, and I think that's makes them so dangerous, you know? Like, you have guys like that. What's one thing that could take over and ruin a team like this? Ego.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not letting that happen. I mean, there's just maybe those two, maybe Brown and Tatum, that'll manifest and get worse, and we'll see something there. But the other three and the bench players, you don't see any of that.
And people are going to make fun of me for this, and they should, because I'm a bit of a broken record in this area. I give Brown credit for that, because I think that's a little bit like, well, if Brown's not going to bitch about his role mm-hmm. or whatever, then how can I bitch as anybody else on the roster? Because I fall in line behind him. And if so, it's very militaristic. Everyone has accepted that it's Jason Tatum's team. You even laughed at me earlier when I questioned who might have been able to get their ring last, mm-hmm. and it was Jason Tatum, obvious decision. When Brown falls in line behind him, I think everybody else just automatically falls in line behind them. But I also think there's an awareness of who they are, what they are, and what they can be. They're the latest greatest Boston Celtics, who, as you brought up earlier, might have a chance to be the greatest Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. That's not being the greatest Heat team or greatest Grizzlies team.
Right.
Like, that's saying you might be the greatest basketball team ever.
Right.
You know,
they
Lakers,
might be the best
Celtics,
Boston sports team ever.
Right. And I think they know that. And that's where I think they've maybe to steal Alex Cora's term, let's get greedy.
Mm.
We won one. So now we're on the top of the mountain. How about we make it so that there's no questions as to who we are?
That can be a big motivator for guys like right. that. Absolutely. Especially guys like who Brady. You know, care about that sort of stuff.
Remember that was a Bruce Brady comment where I believe 2004 Pro Bowl, they were flying back and Bruce was like, it was awesome. We're living mm-hmm. the high life. I'm yep. celebrating. And Brady's like, no one's ever won three in a row. And Bruce's like, wait a minute. Can we enjoy the second first before we start? And that mentality can be really beneficial. And if that mentality is there with the coach and a couple stars, then all of a sudden the others just fall in line, right? Peyton Pritchard might not feel that way, but he's like, hey, okay, we're all in. Let's
yep,
do this.
Let's do it.
You know, whose car are we taking to steal that line from the movie? Like, let's go be the best damn team that ever existed.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Mike is in Lewiston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Mike.
Just a minute, let me just turn off my blower.
What? Your blower?
I had to turn off my leaf blower, sorry.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that. What's
that
up? What's on your mind, Mike?
That blows, right? Hey, I just had a funny idea about the new rules that you guys, the funky rules you guys were talking about.
Oh, yes, right, yeah. From earlier. Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, so for the NFL, how about if you proclaim it to the refs, your kickoff, do the uprights, what's that, 70 yards, something like that? You get an extra point.
You get an extra point if you kick off
through the uprights.
And it goes through the uprights.
Right, yeah.
I love it.
I don't hate it.
I think that's a good plan. You kick it through the uprights, you get a point. You don't have to declare it to the refs. If it goes through the uprights, that counts.
I kind of like the declaration. So if you declare it.
Why not just declare it every single time then?
Because there needs to be a penalty if you miss.
A penalty if you miss?
The touchback goes
if you
to
miss,
the,
then they just catch it and run with the ball. Like, what do you mean if they miss?
If you miss the kick on the kickoff, you declare, I want a point if it goes through. You mm-hmm. miss, touchback goes to the 40.
The 40? That's, come on. The 40?
Risk for it,
one,
no biscuit.
Oh, for 1 point? That seems like a lot.
Okay, maybe it's 35. I don't know the exact yard line, but I think
yeah,
there needs
gonna
to be.
We're going to have to iron that out.
Well, we can talk about it. We'll get a stats crew to run some analytics.
At the next owner's meetings, we'll
yes.
show up with our little binder and we'll come out.
But
and tell
I like
them.
The idea.
I like it.
Of the point, but I think there needs to be a penalty if you declare it. It needs to be something that's utilized mm-hmm. in comebacks, right?
Right?
You just scored. Now I need another point like the other day where they had a point that was kind of dangling in the breeze.
Yes.
If you could get a point on the ensuing kickoff, that changes strategy, correct?
It would.
I like the idea, but
I'm
there needs
it.
To also be a risk involved.
Okay. Jamal's in traffic. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going, Jamal. How you doing?
Blower.
I'm good. You guys need to start a new segment called On Hole Rabbit Hole because so many things go through my head because you're talking about different things and stuff.
Okay. Well, really cool. What's on your mind right now, Jamal?
I really am beginning to think that Robert Kraft sold his soul, and now we're seeing the event of, like, you know, what he has to pay back to the devil. Because ever since Brady left, he's been struggling, trying to keep his name good, and bad things just keep happening to him, making bad decisions, you know, Belichick's ego thought he was fine without Brady. Brady's the only one that won in this because he actually proved that his ego was worth something.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that.
But now Brady sucks at being a broadcaster.
Well, I heard this morning that his games, the Fox Game of the Weeks, are doing the best ratings better than Sunday Night Football.
Because they're good games.
Okay, well, he's the one
calling
them.
It's got nothing to do with him.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Oh, you do? Do you?
Yes, people watch football.
Polling every. I know they watch Sunday Night Football and Monday. Those are standalone games. His
yes.
games, the Fox Game of the Week, which are on while other games are on, are doing better than those games.
And which team has he done?
Mostly the Dallas Cowboys,
who have
still.
The biggest fan base in the world.
Sure,
their games always do really well.
Okay,
that's why they're in those games.
You
a lot.
Understand that? That's still pretty impressive.
I
even
don't,
if it is a
I
lot
think
of
you
Dallas
could do
Cowboys
those
games,
game. And they'd have the same ratings this week.
I don't know. Well, maybe they would. I don't know. It seems like the Brady games are doing better. I actually think, from what I hear, he's improving. I don't know if he's good now, but I do think he's getting better.
You don't
think so?
I think all he says is wow. All I keep seeing
say
is
a lot
big
of wow.
plays. Wow, Tom, you got more than that. You're the smartest quarterback that ever played the game. You don't have more than wow.
Like Owen Wilson calling a game.
Like it's
wow.
it's unbelievable. And he doesn't even make it fun. Be one thing if he just said, you know what? I'm going to go the Madden route and mm-hmm. make noises, and but be fun about it. Make funny noises or make it entertaining.
Turducken.
He just says, wow, and then we move on.
It's true. I watched a little bit of Bill on the Manning cast on Monday, and I dozed off because it was a boring game. But He was pretty good. I thought it was actually pretty
good.
He's
fine.
The three of them, I thought, talking, just it was different from the normal call, and I haven't watched hardly any of it this year. But I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be lame, but it was all right.
It's fine. I preferred the Ed Reed crapping all over the Guardian caps. Where
I saw a little bit of Ed Reed,
and Peyton Manning was very uncomfortable. Because Ed Reed's like, you don't get a concussion from the frontal lobe. You ever watch boxing? It's when your neck and spine twist. And he was like going in-depth into how concussions happen. And you could see Peyton Manning like, I don't want to do this right now.
Peyton Manning, he knows a thing or two about spines and how they twist and everything. He had his spine fused into his neck, I remember.
Peyton Manning's like, we do jokes on this show. We don't get into spinal injuries. Please move on.
Yeah. Vinny's in the car. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, guys. You know, I think a lot of the problem with this, with the Patriots is in the locker room. And the reason why I'm saying that is because you have a rookie claiming that he has the best hands in the league. And imagine him playing with the likes of, and Andy, you'll be able to really specify on this, with the likes of McGinnis and Ty Law, and, you know, they would have stuffed him in a locker room and forgot him for a few weeks.
Yep, that's true. And we've talked about this. I think that might be one of the biggest things, not the talent that was inherited by Gerard Mayo, the leadership vacuum. And people trying to fill the void, and there's a weird void. And, you know, we talked about it for years with Marcus Smart being the leader of the Celtics. And should he be, or was he just filling an empty void? And was it sometimes detrimental? Was he not always the best leader because he wasn't the best player? And all of those things. I think there is a leadership. And absolutely, Willie McGinnis would have had a lot of issues with a lot of the things that a lot of these guys are doing and saying and acting in the locker room. And I don't know.
You don't want to have issues with him. I saw that video in the restaurant. Remember when he came in and smashed that guy with a champagne bottle? That's not a guy you want problems with.
He's one of the top three most imposing guys that I've ever covered or been around. And the players felt the same way. Young guys received, like, he was an imposing. And they even claimed, this may have been urban legend, that they put his locker right by the end of the locker room, the exit door, so that anyone coming in, leaving, doing anything, basically had to pass by Willie. And it was like he was toll booth Willie. Like he would, like, you had to pay the toll. Like if you were leaving early, it was like, where are you going?
Yeah.
Not that toll booth Willie, but sort of.
Toll booth with Adam Sandler is what I was thinking of. Right?
Welcome to Worcester. $1.25 pup. Why you? I'm coming out of the booth.
Yeah. Do we ever know what that guy, what that whole thing in the restaurant was even about? Do we know why? Because I'm not saying that guy deserved it or anything, but you got to make a guy pretty mad to run up to you in a restaurant four other people and smash a champagne bottle over your head.
Willie still had ties to,
like the Crips, right? Or something?
LA and that life.
Well, he's a Long Beach guy, right?
Wherever, yeah. But I've always been told he sort of still had connections in that area, even though he made it and was out and very successful and rubbing elbows with Robert Kraft and the commissioner, that he had ties in there. But I don't recall that I ever saw what exactly that came from.
Yeah.
But I think we learned in Aaron Hernandez it could be a spilt drink.
Yeah, really. It could be anything. Sure. No question about that. By the way, latest Aaron Hernandez last night, tried to watch some of it, fell asleep because I was a long night over at the Garden.
Fell asleep. That's what I say, too.
Fell asleep on the couch. And when I woke up, it was over, and I didn't want to go back and rewind it. So I'll have more commentary on that tomorrow.
Me too. I always watch it on Wednesdays.
All right, very good. Let's take one more call here before odds and ends. Our good friend Steve in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you? That guy's right about the on-hold stuff. So start with Willie McGinnis, and he was a leader. They don't have a leader because none of their draft picks worked out because you didn't re-sign any of them during the Bill Belichick era.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Well, they re-signed a lot of the guys that Belichick drafted.
Isaiah Wynn. Kyle
Duggar.
Isaiah Wynn and
Kyle Duggar. I can say words louder than you.
Nikhil Harry should be the leaders of this team.
Why can't it be Kyle Duggar? Why can't it be Kyle Duggar?
Okay.
He was the top pick in a draft class.
Second rounder.
3 years in. We're talking about veterans. Willie McGinnis in 01, 02, 03, 04, 05.
This is his fifth season.
94.
This is his fifth season for Kyle Duggar. If you're not a leader by year five, I don't think you're going to become a leader.
Also, I don't think he is a leader.
Well, I don't think he is either because I don't think it's in his personality.
Right.
Ramondre Stevenson could be a leader, but isn't. Mike Onwenu could be a leader, but isn't. There's plenty of options, guys they re-signed, draft picks that are here that could be leaders that aren't.
Isn't these the guys they re-signed and we complained about it because they re-signed them because they had nobody else to re-sign? That's default leadership. That's not real leadership. You have a multitude of players to pick from. You have that middle class, a generation. But anyway, Gerard Mayo is in a no-win situation. I guess if he gets 6 wins or 5 wins, somehow we're going to say he had a better year than Bill, or he's doing something right. But, I mean, he's been left with no leadership. And I just want to tell you one other thing. We don't know his role. We don't know who's running the personnel. We knew that about Bill, that Bill was running everything. We still have no idea what the flow chart is over there at Gillette Stadium.
I think we have an idea. I think we have an idea.
Is it not Elliott Wolf?
I think it's Elliott Wolf with some influence from above, but I do think he's the guy there. And I think that's not super uncommon around the league either. I think there's other owners who maybe sway their GMs in certain directions, especially if it's a first year guy who's never done it before and is getting elevated to this position for the first time ever.
Didn't Josh Harris sit in on Adam Peters' combine interviews, and everybody was like, why is the owner sitting in on the quarterback meetings, and everybody bitched about it?
I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
They did.
Yep.
Seems like it worked out fine.
Yeah, looks like it.
And I have no idea whether he said, I like Jaden Daniels or I don't like Jaden Daniels, and whether he took the advice, had any yoke or not. But yeah, I think owners are involved, especially with the bigger decisions, first round picks and things of that nature. And I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
It should be. It's their teams.
I don't necessarily have one either. Let's do one more call here before the end of the show. Joe is in Boston. Go ahead, Joe. Joe!
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Hello. I have a crazy hot take. I think Jason Tatum is horrible.
All right, that was a hot take. I'm glad we took that call. 617-779-7937.
That's on you.
Is your phone number.
Nice job, host one.
It said Jason Tatum. It was a Celtics topic. I thought we'd hit that before we went to odds and ends. Jason Tatum's horrible. Must not have watched the game last night because Jason Tatum was pretty good. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, wrap things up with odds and ends.
You know, we do have a song for this segment.
We were out.
Not this.
Nobody told me that.
Let's hear about the dead girlfriend song. That's fun. That's
I know. I think, well, so me and Andy, or Andy and I also have a song, and that is it.
Yeah, it's this one.
That's our song.
Yes.
It's a very
we're actually going to get married to.
Fun, uplifting song there. Yeah, well, Lord took the baby away from you, so there you go. This is Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Any odds or ends, Andy?
Absolutely. It's some odds about the ends of the Patriots' success.
Okay.
And it's the casinos, the books have been lowering the win total. Some of us took the under on 5.5. Then it dropped to 4.5. Well, it has now been dropped to 3.5 for the season. And yet, you want to know what the most bet under is, both in terms of tickets and handles?
Patriots.
The Patriots under 3.5.
Wow.
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 How far we have fallen.
I mean, listen, I don't think that's wrong.
I was going to say.
The amount of bets and the handle. It's not like, the sharps are really high on the over or anything. No. Everybody agrees. It's unanimous. This team sucks, and they're going to win less than 3 games.
And I don't even think it feels like recency bias. It's observing the totality of what this team is. And your guy, my guy, our Monday interview, not even Drake May can pull him out of it. And I think people are like, that's kind of what they're going to look like. Even in winnable games, he's going to look good, and they're going to lose. That's almost the best-case scenario at this point, which just happens to align nicely with the Andy Hart plan and getting the number one overall pick and having Drake May. Now maybe you send a third for Cooper Kupp, and we're cooking with gas next offseason. But I thought that was eye-opening that they drop it. And everybody's like, yeah, you didn't drop it far enough. Keep dropping it before we have to think about this bet. We're all going to hammer the Patriots on the under.
Yep.
Youch, babe.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. My odds and ends here is something that happened last night. Not where I was. I was in the building, but if you were at the watch party, you probably already know about this. Bostonians who gathered at City Hall Plaza on Tuesday night to watch the Celtics opening night watch party and further celebrate the team's NBA championship were greeted by a falling drone that injured some and sent at least one person to the hospital. Good thing there's a lot of hospitals around there. Boston police say at least 3 people sustained non-life-threatening injuries from a falling drone outside the plaza at 7:30 p.m. just as the Celtics were tipping off. Youssef Kobayashi, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, Mr. Youssef, if you're listening, he was hit by the drone, told Boston 25 that it sounded like a banging sound as the drone crashed into them. I heard a loud sound, sounds like a banging sound. Suddenly I feel something hit my head. It was initially very scary because there was a loud sound and then felt like something sharp hitting me in the head. Then I hear the woman next to me scream, and I thought she was going to fall. Another fan said for like an hour and a half, I was standing in shock like, oh my gosh. This was Derek Scrima, who claimed that the drone cut two of his fingers when it hit the ground. Now, there was a drone in the garden. It was a small one. It wasn't anything that could have done any damage if it fell and hit somebody, but it was this little tiny drone I saw flying around from my vantage point. It was a bird's eye view, so I could see everything down there, and it was floating all around. It sounds like this was a big one. It sounded like this is one of those like big, heavy-duty drones flying around. I don't know if it was getting cut. I saw the TNT. They had their whole setup there, right? Weren't they over at Government Center? I think they were right there. So I don't know if it was a TNT drone or just, you know, some hobbyist out there doing it, trying to get shots or whatever. But wow.
This is going to become more of an issue moving forward. There's drones everywhere. There's more and more drones.
TNT released a statement. They said, unfortunately, there was an incident involving a drone and fan surrounding tonight's event. On-site medical and safety personnel attended the situation. We're investigating further, and we wish all involved the best, the network said in its release. So they're trying to figure out if it was their drone or not. Or they know it's their drone, and they just don't want to admit it yet.
CYA.
What happens that, like, how do you lose control of a drone? It's not like it was super windy last night. The battery died?
The battery might have died. Or maybe there was radio interference. That's the other thing. The more of them there are, what if you cross, you know, remote control streams with the wrong person and they both lock up for a minute and crash?
Is that a thing? Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. Frequency coordination's an issue. You've never been to Gillette where they have a frequency coordinator for every wireless microphone and everything else because all those streams cross. I don't know how it works.
I did not know that. Yeah. I'm just picturing like the Ghostbusters, you know?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah,
don't cross the streams.
Yeah, well, this is a different version of that. But absolutely, the drones are going to become an issue. Did you, Kenny Smith, speaking of the TNT setup in the plaza there, I think he almost fell. They had the setup.
Dodging the drone?
No, they had a runway. You know, he does his little run to the screen.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they had a runway to a platform to another runway to a screen, and he started to run, and I think it was moist or whatever. And I think he almost fell, and then he walked back super slow, like flat-footed, like a guy on ice.
Interesting.
Yeah. He almost had an issue.
That clip of Shaq falling on the set, you know, where he jumps up out of his chair and he starts to run and he falls down, one of the funniest clips in the history of that show. And that show has a lot of clips.
I didn't get to see you singing Korean train songs.
Yes, which is already making the rounds, as I thought it would. It is going viral for all the right reasons. Thank God. Now everybody gets to hear the beauty of my singing voice. Well, there you go. That's about all the time we have here. Anything else? Anything else?
Just
for
one quick answer. We'll do Q&As occasionally. If you want last minute, we'll go to the text line and answer a couple questions.
Okay.
First of all, Cup is not washed. He had 14 catches in the opener against the Lions. That's pretty good to me. Now, is he injury prone?
He is an injury risk.
Absolutely.
For sure,
but he's not washed.
Wouldn't say he's washed.
And the 401. Did anyone ask or get an answer as to why Coach Mayo trotted the backup Jacoby Brissett out as one of the captains for the last game? Because he's a captain.
Still a captain.
You don't lose your captaincy because you are no longer the starting quarterback.
He lost the starting ship, but he didn't lose captaincy.
Right. Yeah, right. And it happens across the league more often than you'd think that veteran journeyman quarterbacks start to open the year. Teams vote them captains. Then they lose their job to the rookie, but they're still captains. So Jacoby Brissett is still a captain and a leader on this team.
All right. Very good. That's all the time we have here. Want to say thanks to Adam Schefter. Want to say thanks to Brian Scalabrine. No thanks to his service carrier there on his cell phone. Hopefully we get a better connection next week. Tomorrow, it's a Tom E. Curran Thursday. We'll talk to you at 2 o'clock. Stick around. KJ and Lyons have you for the duration of the night right here on WEEI.